this message out. So we traveled to the humble hometown of you-know-who, where we meet some unlikely hometown heroes. Unlikely to many who would describe a hero very differently, but not so unlikely to those who know what God deems to be important, valuable, and heroic. You know, it's an interesting word, isn't it? What does it mean to be heroic? What characteristics, actions, and traits cause someone to be called a hero? Any quick responses? Doing the right thing when it doesn't seem like it, even if it's not easy. Even when you're scared. Courageous. Being selfless. Facing your fears. What's that? Wearing a cape. So, I like the wearing the cape one. I'm still kind of stuck on the wearing the cape. I'm thinking theme music right now. Da, 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 da. You know, that's going. Well, some of you, you know, it's interesting because if I was to ask that question in at a comic convention, I might get very different answers. If you were to look at some of the heroes, it's interesting because some of the superheroes that we see, they make sacrifices knowing that they're bulletproof. And if you watch nowadays, they make sacrifices knowing that in the next movie they're just going to resurrect them anyway. I mean, I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but in a movie, someone's got to die and stay dead. Otherwise, it really doesn't mean anything. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's some consistent answers we might come up with, but they vary. But that answer for those questions could vary based on culture, time period, opinions, and even values. What one person may see as a hero, another may see as just the opposite. In fact, those whom a culture sees as heroic says much about what that culture values. So when we talk about heroes of Christmas, we're talking and we're looking at what Christ values. If you think about that for a minute, what our culture values, what we put financial. I mean, some guy just made like, he's got a 10-year contract for like $700 million to hit a baseball and to catch one and pitch, throw one. It's like, that's how much we value. But our school teachers make, you know, $40,000 a year. I wonder why so many people don't want to be school teachers. I mean, it's amazing when you see what a culture values. And so it's important when I talk about the heroes of Christmas, we're talking about what Christ values. And if we're going to look at that, we need to look no further than the ones that God specifically selected to be the parents of his son. Now, if we were to read all the passages that the Bible has about that speak of Joseph and Mary, we'd come to some pretty interesting discoveries, and we'll look at several of them today. But one of the things that I noticed as I was reading them this week once again, I noticed how different Mary and Joseph were. How completely different these two people. Let me just give you one observation that I noticed. In all of Scripture, there's not one word recorded, not one statement credited to Joseph of Nazareth. We read about his character, we read about his thoughts, we read about his actions, but not one word from his mouth. Go read them somebody. There is not one word, one quote from Joseph of Nazareth, the earthly father of the Son of God. There's not one word from this guy. In contrast, Mary was very vocal. She talked to the angel. She talked to Elizabeth. She quoted Scripture. She sang her own song. She confronted Jesus when he was a teenager. It's interesting. Joseph was right there, but Joseph didn't do the talking. He let Mother Mary take care of that situation. I mean, Mary said amazing things and probably more than what is recorded. Now, I know it's unusual that the wife would be the talker in the relationship, but that appears to be true of Joseph and Mary. Why are you laughing? Apparently, you haven't spent time with Tamara and I. Because the talker in our relationship would happen to be surprise. See, what I want you to see here is one of these individuals is more of an introvert. The other was apparently more of an extrovert. And the point is, not to mention that God does put opposites together for very good reasons sometimes. The point is that even though their personalities were different, both Mary and Joseph were heroic. You see, a particular personality is not a prerequisite for being God's chosen. Because sometimes, that person's very bold. That's the person God will use. God can use any personality for his glory if they're open to him. Now, a personality may not be a heroic requirement. Character is irreplaceable. And these hometown heroes that we'll look at today exemplify just that. They're the opposite of the villain from last week. So I want to talk about four things today. The first is a servant's heart. First thing that Mary and Joseph showed us is a servant's heart. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. When some people would read this, they would say, well, why would a just man, why would a righteous man who did not want to bring shame upon Mary, why would he find it necessary to divorce her? Why not just marry her anyway, right? Well, there's an answer for that, and it's different. We have to realize that this happened over 2,000 years in a completely different custom and a completely different place. And the reason Joseph would do this is because, in essence, to marry her would be an admission of his guilt, that he had not honored the betrothal agreement, that he had taken advantage of Mary. So Joseph decided to make the best of a difficult situation. Anyone ever been there? Just going to make the best of a difficult. You didn't ask for the situation. You didn't put yourself there. You just happened to be there. And so he decided, I'm going to make the best of a difficult situation, and I'm going to divorce her quietly. But God had other plans, didn't he? And he sent the angel Gabriel to lay out the facts. Now, the facts that Gabriel brought to Joseph, they did change the reality of what happened, but it didn't change what would happen in Mary and Joseph's reality. I mean, who was going to buy this Holy Spirit stuff? Would you buy it from your 13-year-old? Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. It was the Holy Spirit. Haven't met him. You know what I mean? Who's going to buy this? And his willingness to sacrifice his own reputation. Someone said self-sacrificing. In his willingness to sacrifice his own reputation, his own dreams for the call of God, Joseph exemplified a servant's heart. You see, to accept this assignment was to accept that some doors would be closed to Joseph. See, Joseph had to understand, if I accept this assignment, if I accept this, then some doors are going to be closed to me. In fact, some doors are going to be slammed in my face. Because people like to assume things about other people. But if we will be servants of God, things won't always go as we wished. Now, there's a young man out there named Jordan Travis. Maybe not many of you know who he is. He's a senior quarterback for a team called the Florida State Seminoles. Happens to be a team I've been rooting for since I was a sophomore in high school. He was a Heisman hopeful. That's the biggest award in college sports. In fact, he ended up, even though he got hurt three games before the end of the season, he ended up getting the number five votes, or the number fifth in the votes. He was a team leader of an undefeated team, looking at a possible national championship run. And three games before his season end, just Jordan Travis broke his leg in a game that really didn't mean a lot. They ended up winning it 58-13 even without him. And this happened just a few weeks ago. And you think about a young man whose dreams is to win a national championship. All his life is prepared for this, to win the Heisman Trophy, to lead his team and all this. And how could God let this happen? Break his leg. He's out, done. How's he going to respond? That's not what he wanted. That's not what he wished for. Well, I'm going to read it in his own words. Just a day or two after the accident, he said this, after the incident. He said, I just want to let you all know I'm doing good, feeling good. Got a smile on my face. Just going to follow God's plan. And God has a journey for me. Going to trust him every step of the way. I appreciate y'all for all the messages. Go Noles. Now, he didn't win the Heisman Trophy. I don't even know who did. Or the national championship. Though his team went on to win the next three games even without him. But when I read the words that he said, I think he won something a little bit more important than a trophy. Joseph heard the call of God. The mission was laid before him. And without a word, Joseph chose to serve. Even though it cost him. Even though it wasn't what he planned. But Joseph wasn't the only one, was he? We jump over to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We read about Mary's journey. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled. Same trouble. Remember when Herod was troubled last week? He was in turmoil, confusion, you know, agitated, all those things. Same trouble. She's troubled here in this situation. She was troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Good question. She's new enough to know there's things that have to happen here that haven't happened. And the angel said, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Basically, he's going to create in you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Like Joseph, Mary exemplified willingness to self-sacrifice. And you know what? She did this before she even knew what Joseph was going to do. Wouldn't that be a little scary? That's the question that maybe someone else would have. How's Joseph going to respond? Gabriel, before I say okay, how's Joseph going to respond to this? But she didn't. She knew what God wanted, and that was enough. Didn't matter if the whole world was against her. What a relief it must have been for Mary when she realized God had that handled. Isn't God awesome? Like the questions in our hearts, like what we think, what if God's like, "I didn't forget the what if." I've got that taken care of too. And Joseph decided to stay by her side. You know, Mary's words not only demonstrate the important part of a servant's heart of sacrificing, but also she was available. I mean, listen to those words again. And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." There's a beautiful quality in the acceptance and surrender and trust of Mary's words. Unlike so many who gave Jesus excuses in his ministry of why they couldn't do what he asked them to do, Mary just said, "Whatever's needed." Now, how many know that her availability was a lifetime commitment? You think you got it rough when God says, "Would you do this one act?" He said, "You're going to give birth to the Son." That's a lifetime commitment. Anybody realize that? Anybody still have 70-year-olds living in your basement? Okay, no, probably. That would really be bad, wouldn't it? Oh, I do have a 70-year-old living in my basement. It's not my child. It's my mother. I don't even know how to go after that. I'm just going to end with prayer, and we're going to be done. You know, when I think about this, it makes me wonder, when Jesus spoke about the greatest being a servant, I wonder if he had a smile on his face and he thought back to mom and dad. You know, I mean, maybe he never thought of that, but like Jesus talked about the greatest and maybe a little smile because he remembered Joseph and Mary and what they taught him by their example. God's not dumb when he chooses people. He knew Mary and Joseph. He knew what he was doing. And this other question comes to me, do we put a smile on God's face when we bless him? Well, we have faith enough to have a servant's heart. I think we do. No, nobody else is applauding you. Nobody else may even notice. But God smiles and says, "Hey, Gabriel, there's another one." The second thing that I see in this is compassion. I want to revisit Joseph's initial decision to divorce Mary quietly. See, the fact that Mary was pregnant, I'm going to lead you through this. The fact that Mary was pregnant and Joseph knew that it wasn't him could only bring him to a very difficult conclusion. 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, the conclusion is, he goes, I didn't do this, but she's pregnant, and she's saying it's the Holy Spirit. I'm not buying that. So the only thing he'd think is that his beautiful, pure, wonderful bride that he was about to marry had been unfaithful. That's a betrayal. His fiance went out and slept with somebody else, and she's pregnant. How does a fiance deal with that? That hurt and that anger. He might even be vengeful. So let me ask you, why protect Mary from her sin? Why protect Mary from her consequences? She's the one who chose to do that. Why should I protect her? I didn't do anything wrong. She deserves what she gets. You know why? Because justice demands judgment. And no one in his culture would have blinked an eye if he would have said, you know the law. I wonder if Joseph really felt any of these things. Honestly, I think he probably did at some point. Oh, no, Joseph was a human being dealing with a very difficult situation, just like you and I do. And to say that he didn't think things, that he didn't act on, is to do a misjustice to what we go through. I'm sure Joseph went through a lot of different thoughts. But the great thing is he wasn't controlled by any of them. That's the difference. Joseph chose compassion. I don't know whether he felt it or not. See, feelings aren't the main thing in this. He chose compassion. Can I tell you, every day of your life, every day of my life, we get an opportunity to choose judgment or compassion. Every time you drive in Billings, you're given an opportunity. Every time you go into Costco, I mean, right? I mean, but really, we have these opportunities. And Joseph could have chosen judgment, but he chose compassion. You see, he was a hero, but he wasn't an avenger. He was more like his son and Messiah, who said this in Matthew 9:13 and 12:7. I desire mercy. I desire mercy. Jesus said, I desire mercy. Number three, the third thing that makes them heroes is obedience. It's funny. It's one of those words that we want our kids to do, but we don't really like it when it's put on us. We want our kids to obey, but when someone tells us to obey, we're like, oh, you can't tell me to obey. Well, I weigh a lot of people driving Billings. They obviously don't want to obey this. Never mind. We kind of don't like that, but you know. But I noticed something about Joseph. He may not have said a lot, but listen to what happens every time he comes into a place where God tells Joseph to do something. I'm just going to show you three examples. The first one I find in Matthew 1:24 says, when Joseph woke from sleep, listen to this, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. He didn't say a lot about it, but he did what the, and then we just keep, let's see if this is a pattern. 2:14, chapter 2, verse 14 in Matthew says, and he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Again, God says, hey, you need to get out of town. Herod's going to try to kill your son. Going to try to kill Jesus. And he just does it. Oh, well, let's read again. If we go to verse 20, it says, let's read 19. But when Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Verse 21. And he rose, and he took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. It's amazing. Like, Joseph may be the first person who ever served God who didn't ask questions every time God said something. Right? I mean, our kids do it to us. But we do. Like, God says, do this. And we go, why? How? When? God's like, just do it. Trust me on this one. Could you imagine if Joseph decided to deliberate in that second instance, when Joseph decided to deliberate and sleep on whether he should take his family to Egypt? Jesus would have been killed. God said, you need to go. And Joseph just obeyed. He simply did. I mean, he may not have been a man of many words, but he was a man of a simple action called obedience. You see, it's one thing to say, we will do as God asks. We can sing great songs, announcing we will follow. But often where words are many, talk is cheap. See, I'm a person of words, kind of part of what I do, who I am. And people who don't talk a lot kind of make me nervous, because I don't know what's going on. I got some family members like that. I'm like, I'm not sure what's... But you know what I love about... I have a particular family member who doesn't talk much. But boy, he's a man of action. And he has obeyed God at every moment in every space of his life. That's what Joseph was. See, real heroes don't just say they will obey. They obey. Now, listen. This is a story that Jesus told. So obviously, it's a few years later. Matthew chapter 21. And I didn't mark it in my Bible. I think I was doing something else this week. Matthew 21, verse 28. At least now you know I can find where Scripture is without having a bookmark. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 says, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. Punk? No. He said, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. Verse 30. And he went to the other son and said to him, said the same. And he answered, I'll go, sir. Very smart. Yes, sir. I got this. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? It's an interesting verse because it's kind of telling us where God's heart is. It's not that you say that you will, but that you do. You see, the son who blessed his father was not the one who gave his dad the answer he knew he wanted to hear. How many have kids? What did you learn in church today? What did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn in kids' church today? Jesus. Oh, yeah? What did you talk about? The Bible. These are geniuses. Like, you got a pretty good shot that it was about Jesus, unless they happen to be in the Old Testament. Then, right? Or your kid, how many of you have actually had a boss come to you and you knew what your boss wanted to hear, so you just tell them what they wanted to hear, right? But that's not who Jesus is impressed by. He's impressed by the one who did what the Father asked him to do. That's what Joseph and Mary exemplify. People who say, God, I don't get this, I don't understand it, but hey, you're God. 1 Samuel 15:22 has this phrase. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So maybe we don't understand what that's saying, but let me put it this way. Like, if you go Christmas shopping and you find something, and of course everything's discounted. We never kept track whether the prices went up before they were discounted, but that's always fun to take a look at. But they're discounted. You go in there and you want to buy this present, and it's $69.97. Sounds like it's from Walmart, right? Because it's never 99. But $69.97, and you're like, you know what? I really want to buy this gift. You bring it to she brings it up. She says, that'll be $69.97. You go, you know what? I'd really like to pay you $69.97, but instead, I would like to do this. I would like to give you my socks instead. How long you been wearing those things, right? I mean, but that's really what it's saying here, is to obey, give the lady the $69.97. That's the obey part. But sometimes I'd rather just give you my socks instead. And how often God says, you know what, I want you to, this is what I'm desiring for you. By the way, whenever God says to do something, it's not because he's being mean and trying to take away your fun. It's because he knows what real fun is. He knows that at the end of your journey and your decision, there's difficult. There's something you're going to face. So he says, try my way, because my way always is blessed. That's always what obedience is about. God is leading you to the blessed life. That's what it's always about. Doesn't mean it's your thing. But that's what we do to God. It's like God says, give me the $69.97. We're like, well, how about my socks, Lord? I don't want your socks. I've asked for the 69. Are you following me? Yeah. That's what he's saying here. Some of you are going to like not be able to get past the socks thing. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with great declarations and promise to be faithful. You know, Mary said these things. She said things. In fact, she has a whole song full of them. And for Mary, that was a big part of who she was. For some of us, it's not enough just to obey. We've got to, like, tell you about it. Right? Because part of who we're made, part of who God made us, we want to make declarations of our faithfulness. We want to tell you we love you. We want to give you a hug because that's part of who we are. We need to do that. But in the end, the most beautiful thing about Mary's words was what followed them. What followed Mary's words was a lifetime of obedience that neither you or I can actually even probably grasp what Mary experienced. And the final thing I want to share, lastly, that made Mary and Joseph heroes, and this one might, you may never see this one coming, is dependence. Is dependence. Many would describe a hero as one who has the power to take on anything and do it alone if necessary. And I told you guys this before, one of my favorite cinematic pictures is of the Avengers Endgame, where Captain America stands there, broken shield, and the army, evil armies of Thanos gather along the other side. It's beautiful. In fact, I told you about it so much, someone actually went out and bought the picture for me. And I have it downstairs. It's like one of my wall, like that's not going where, that's my wall hanging. It's right. I love that picture. Captain America stands, he's one of my favorite superheroes, Captain America and Superman, kind of the cape sometimes, you know. But one of my favorite pictures, the hero that stands alone, the hero that will take on the whole world on his own, a Superman, a Wonder Woman, a person of independence. But these heroes of Christmas were very different because their power and their strength and their ability did not come from some serum or radioactivity or being a mutant or whatever else. It came from God. In fact, I think Mary said it best. Listen to Mary's song. Catch the heart behind this song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on humble state and servant. For behold, from now on all generations call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, Abraham, and to his offspring. There's kind of a theme in there, isn't it? Mary is a hero because she was dependent. Dependent. The fact that the Christmas story is so ludicrous to think that these two humble peasants from Nazareth made it to Bethlehem, escaped the clutches of a king, came back. How did Jesus survive to become a teenager? Where was their superpower? What strength did they offer? What things is this that this world would call excellent and amazing and worthy of praise? What was it? They had God. Some of you come to a place where you have nothing. You feel like you're at the end of your rope. You have God. And folks, let me encourage you. He's got you. You think you're holding on. He has you. may be valued for all those crazy, amazing things they do, but God values dependence. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul was speaking to God, saying, God, get this weakness out of my life. If you get this weakness out of my life, you don't know. I could be amazing for you. I actually told a pastor once, I was going through some severe chronic issues, and I told this pastor, almost in tears, that I was working for. I said, if God would just heal me from this, I could be the best youth pastor that you've ever seen. I believed that of myself, and I just was so frustrated, and I remember being at that place in my life, and Paul was at that place, and this is what happened. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul wrote, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you find yourself in need of God, you just might be more heroic than you think. I close with this. Mary and Joseph were amazing, but they were people. They were people. Hometown people who became heroes of Christmas. It happened because they served, because they loved, because they obeyed, and because they were dependent on God. He chose them, and he entrusted them. Can I tell you? He has chosen you, and he's entrusted something to you too. And he did it. He knows you can. Sometimes people may look at us and say, can anything good come out of Lockwood? You laugh, but I've actually had people in Billings, in other parts of Billings, actually make statements similar to that. I love it. I wouldn't be in any other part of Billings or any part of the state of Montana or the United States of America or anywhere else. I love Lockwood. And there's a lot of good here. Because someone once said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I'm just going to clue you in on something. The Savior of the world came out of Nazareth. There may be a young person at that Lockwood High School or Lockwood Middle School or Elementary. There may be a kid next door to you that God is destined to shake kingdoms. Because God loves using. As 1 Corinthians says, if you remember back, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He uses the things that are not to shame the things that are. I don't want to boast about my good stuff. I like to boast about the fact that I am just, I'm weak. So God can be strong in me and in you and in Lockwood. Father, I thank you today. I believe that in every one of us there's a heroic moment ready to be born. It might be a heroic moment in our workplace. A kindness. That, yeah, to the rest of the world, it didn't mean anything. But to that person coming to our cash register, that person that we helped fix something to their house, that person that we just happened to run into, that person that interrupted our busy holiday schedule, but we found the time to be there for them. To that person, we were the hero they needed. I'll never forget the day when a mom came to me and told me that a letter I wrote to a young lady when I was a youth pastor, she came to me and she said that everyone forgot her birthday, and when she came into her room, she was going to kill herself. And on her nightstand stood a card from Pastor Rick wishing her a happy birthday. And that mom came to me and said that this young lady did not commit suicide because I sent her a birthday card. We're looking for the big moments in our strength and our power to become the superhero And you've called us to show compassion, to obey, to serve. And when we're at our end, to keep depending on you. And that is what Jesus Christ says. That, my friends, is heroic. If you would join me this morning just to say, you know what, Lord, in this season, this crazy season of life and the things that are happening, God, I want to be a hometown hero. I want to refocus my mind to serve, to love, to listen, and to depend upon you. If you're like that with me today, just, you don't even have to raise your hand. Just as I pray, receive this prayer. Lord, that's us today. Make us simple heroes in small situations to remember others above ourselves. If you're here today or you're watching online and you've never asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you've never received the forgiveness that he came to give you, that too is a prayer away as you speak to him. And as we close this time today, I know there's people in this congregation who are dealing with some sicknesses and injuries. Janie mentioned to me, Lord, we lift him up to you today and pray your touch, your hand upon him and all others that you might need a touch from God. We just pray, Lord, the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.